You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So our message this morning comes out of the Old Testament. It's our Old Testament lesson for this morning from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. You can follow along in the bulletin as I read the text from Isaiah this morning. You there, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which does not know you will run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked abandon his way, and the unrighteous person his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So Isaiah the prophet, in the year 587 BC, just as Isaiah had warned, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and his army conquered Jerusalem. And as conquerors do, they destroyed Jerusalem, they flattened the temple, they stole all of the people's treasure, and they took into captivity the Jewish people, men, women, children, making them slaves and exiling them from their beloved Jerusalem. Now in Babylon, times for the Jewish people were difficult. The Babylonian captors were a very unforgiving taskmasters. The women and children were bought and sold like cattle. Praying to the one true God of Israel was a dangerous activity. Might result in cruel punishment or even death. It was a dire circumstance that the prophet Isaiah had foretold and had come to pass. These people, these Jewish people, exiled in a foreign land, slaves to a godless people, in bondage to a culture that worshiped idols and false gods, and under constant pressure to submit to the culture, to bow down to the false idols, and to conform to the prevailing culture. Sounds a whole lot like present day, does it not? Nothing new under the sun. You can turn the clock forward to present day Houston, Texas, fourth largest city in the country. And on any given day, you might find a small town teenage runaway. In this case, we'll call her Chloe, who ran away from an abusive situation at home, and she steps off a bus at the bus station in Houston and immediately falls prey to a smooth-talking human trafficker. Within days, she's enslaved to the highest bidder, and she finds herself in bondage. You might say that Chloe is in exile in Babylon. Across the sprawling metropolis of Houston, a husband and father of three, we'll call him Jonathan, walks into his place of employment as he's done every day for the past 5 years, and instead of his time card, he finds a pink slip. His company has decided that rather than pay for his benefits, they would just assume let him go. And so he has to take that endless drive back home to look into his wife's eyes and tell her that he is jobless. You might say that Jonathan is in exile in Babylon. You might say his whole family has been exiled to Babylon. And then in the outskirts of the Houston city limits in a small community, there's a single mom. We'll call her Haley. And she has a 3-year-old named Caitlin. And Caitlin woke up this morning with a high fever and hangs listlessly in her mother's arms. Haley has no money to buy food, let alone pay for a doctor or buy medicine. Her part-time job barely pays for their small apartment. If only her live-in boyfriend had not gotten arrested for DWI a few weeks ago. They depended on his income, and now that's not there. And now all of them, this makeshift family on the outskirts of Houston, are now in exile in Babylon. By the grace of God, Isaiah's prophetic work doesn't end with the Israelites in captivity in Babylon. God showed Isaiah that there would come a time for their deliverance from bondage. There would come a day of salvation for the people of Israel. And Isaiah told them in Isaiah 55 to seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and return to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, God provided a way out of Babylon if only the Israelites would take it. Isaiah said his mercy and grace were near. All they had to do was accept it and return to him, and he promised he would redeem them. But the thing about this promise from God was that it was a limited time offer. Isaiah told them while God was near now, while he was giving his mercy and grace now, there would come a time when the offer would end, so the people should act now if they wanted to come out of exile from Babylon. So back in downtown Houston, a ministry worker risks everything and poses as a customer, and he rents the young runaway Chloe. Can you imagine renting a human being? Chloe's now a year older, and she's totally dependent on her captives for everything, including her heroin habit. And this ministry worker offers her an invitation to escape to a safe house. And he can't make her go, but if she accepts his offer, she will be safe that very night. And the question she has to decide upon in that moment was, will she accept her deliverer or will she remain in exile in Babylon? Once again, across the city, Jonathan and his family walk into a local church to spend the night. It's been a year since he lost his job, and they have lost everything, their home, their car, all of their possessions. And when they walk into the church to spend the night, there are several other families staying at the church with them, and they all sit together and they share a meal prepared for them by church members. And the pastor offers a prayer before the meal, and the words the pastor prays begin to penetrate the shell that has encapsulated Jonathan's heart. The pastor prays, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so, like Chloe, Jonathan finds himself with a decision. Will he accept the invitation to unload his heavy burdens, or will he remain in exile in Babylon? Not so far away, single mom Haley wonders if young Caitlin will ever see 4 years of age. What began as a high fever nearly a year ago turned out to be a serious degenerative condition, and without any kind of health insurance and access to quality care, Haley has just barely managed to sustain Caitlin. But she fears the end is coming and there's nothing that she can do. And as she rocks her helpless child to sleep, as she has done every night for nearly a year now, she turns on the radio only to hear a pastor on a talk show talking about a church-run clinic for people like her with no insurance and no money. And the pastor says that there are doctors and nurses and specialists, and they work every day to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those who are in need. And all a person has to do is call and make the appointment. But Haley's not so sure about the whole Jesus thing. Will the church-based clinic still take her in and help her? Help Caitlin to receive medicine and care, even if she's not sure about Jesus? And so Haley has a decision to make. Will she make the call or will she stay in exile in Babylon? See, our teenage runaway, our husband and father, our single mom are but a small sampling. They and their circumstances of the prevailing culture, the collective consciousness of sin in our society. We are, as a culture, as fallen humans, the wicked to whom Isaiah refers. Because our society has it all backwards. We have it all upside down. We're short-sighted. We've lost our way. We have not grasped the truth as Isaiah proclaims it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. society, people. The ones Isaiah refers to as the wicked today lean toward this thing called secular humanism. It's this idea that humans have autonomy from God. And we have wonderful watchwords out there in our secular society. We use words like liberty and equal rights and tolerance and diversity. And if we don't like the restrictions placed on us by Holy Scripture, we simply ignore Scripture in the name of all those fancy words. We have a watchword in secular society. We call it equity or fairness. Our watchword as a society should be righteousness. We've replaced this God-given liberty with the slavery of universalism. We mistake tolerance for love when the lack of accountability inherent in tolerance is absolutely the most unloving thing that we could possibly do one to another. Because when we turn a blind eye to unrighteousness so as not to offend someone, in so doing, we clear the pathway to hell. Because then there's no accountability for the unrighteous. We can't, as the church, go along to get along. If we don't stand for something, we will fall for anything. And so herein rests the truth about liberty. When we accept that our liberty is God-given and under His authority, when we submit to His authority as given to us in His Word, the Bible, when we cease these rebellious efforts to be autonomous and make up our own rules, then and only then do we get to enjoy freedom through the mercy and grace, the pardon, as Isaiah puts it, of God. And until we return to the Lord, as Isaiah proclaims, until we return to God, we will live in exile in Babylon. But when we accept our deliverer, when we say yes to Jesus, when we trust in Him, we confess our trespasses and we repent of them and we turn away from them, then we receive mercy, and with it comes grace. We receive the abundant pardon of our God, and then we cease to be in exile in Babylon. Then we are heading for Jerusalem. How do we know this to be true? We know it because God said it. Listen to what it says in Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a human being that He should lie, or a mortal that He should change His mind. He has promised, and will He not do it? Has He spoken, and will He not fulfill it? Isaiah proclaims, "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it." You see, God's word does not go out and then return void. It accomplishes great and mighty things. If God says He will pardon, you can rest assured that you are no longer in exile in Babylon, but you are headed for Jerusalem. Headed for Jerusalem. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I am headed for Jerusalem." What a joyous journey that will be. As you travel that sanctifying road to Jerusalem, all of creation will shout for joy as our runaway Chloe accepts her deliverer's invitation of safety. She embraces an opportunity for true deliverance. As our husband and father, Jonathan, joyfully allows the pastor's prayer to penetrate his heart, he grasps the gift of an eternal home and access to the limitless storehouses of God. And as our single mom, Haley, joyfully carries her child, Caitlin, through the doors of this church-run clinic ministry, she experiences the face of Christ in the eyes of a Christian medical team, and a relationship of trust and new life is born, yanked from the grasp of sickness and death. And so, like our examples, Chloe, Jonathan, Haley, we too have to make a choice. We too must decide if we will accept our deliverer or not. Will we accept salvation or will we remain in exile in Babylon? As Isaiah proclaims, "For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." So this Lenten season, all of us, whether you're sitting in the sanctuary or whether you're watching on the live stream, we have a decision to make. Will we make a decision for Christ? Will we say yes to the invitation of our deliverer? Will we enjoy that celebration when the runaways all come home, when the families have provision in abundance, when all the addicts are set free, when the single moms and their children are secure in the house of the Lord, where sin and sickness and death are not even a faded memory? What a celebration we will have when we are no longer slaves to sin, no longer in bondage to the prevailing culture, no longer in exile in Babylon, but we find ourselves home, sweet home in Jerusalem. Glory to God. Praise His name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.